We had a guest speaker last week, was awesome, and just did a great job, and we thank God that God was his deliverer and delivered him from all kinds of, just bondages, and we thank God for his testimony. And if you missed it, I feel sorry for you. You missed it. But here's the good news. You're here today. Amen? And that is right. So I want to talk to you today. I want to kind of do a little bit of review of the week before. So can we review for just a little bit? So here's what we talked about, not last week, but the week before. We talked about not judging. Do you remember this? And here's what we said, that we are not to judge, you know what, people's motives. When? Who remembers when we're to judge people's motives? Never. Everybody say never. Okay. Now, like your mom used to say this, never, ever, 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 ever. Go ahead, you do it. Okay. You added two evers, but that's okay. That's all right. So you get the point. We are never, and people say, oh, yeah, but I know. Yeah, thank you. Could you put that right up here? So here's the deal. Somebody says, yeah, but I know why they did that. Okay. All eyes up here. Don't look at me. Look at me. No, you don't. The truth is you don't know. No, but I do. I'm smiling, right? No, you don't. And we think we do, and we get in all kinds of situations because we think we know what's going on, and the truth is we don't know what's going on. And let me say this. Even if you're right, you're still wrong. Because God says you're not to judge. When are you supposed to judge somebody's motives? Just never, ever, 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 ever. Yeah, but I know my wife. I know why she did that. No, you don't. Yeah, can I say it again? Never, ever, 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 ever. Never. Yeah, but my husband, and he always, and I know, and... Right? And throw it away. Make a decision that you are going to just be obedient to what God said. And let me tell you what, you're about to live a great life. Because when you stop judging, it just frees you up. You talk about God smiling. Pastor George, you talk about God smiling. Man, when we walk in that non-judgment, I mean, God just smiles. He loves it. He loves it. Okay. So I want to remind you that. The other thing I want to remind you, when this is deep, are you ready? Are you ready for something really deep? Okay. You got your spiritual stuff on. When the Bible says don't judge, here's what it means. You ready? Don't judge. I told you it was deep. Here's what it means. There's one lawgiver. So if God says something is not right, it's wrong, then you can't override that and say, yeah, but I think it's okay for me to do it. Or I don't, you know, things have changed. No. There's one lawgiver. It's God. So if God says something's wrong, it's wrong. And we are not to judge. That's what James says. Yeah, but I thought not judging meant that I can judge everything and then you can't judge me. It's not what it means. Here's what it means. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Okay. When do we judge somebody's motive? Never. Ever, 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 ever. Okay. Now that's significant. I'm going to pick that up at the very end because I want to talk about that again. I want to remind you of that. Today we're going to talk about God's mercy. And we're going to look at someone who understood the mercy of God, understood what mercy meant. Now let's talk about that for a minute. What does mercy mean? Let's define it. Here's what mercy means. Mercy means to have compassion, shown towards someone who for no reason deserves it. To have compassion towards someone who for no reason deserves it. In other words, they're being gracious to you, but not because of something you did, just because they're being gracious to you. God is showing compassion to mankind, to us, not because of anything that we did, but just, here, I'll say it like this. God loves you because he decided to love you. It wasn't like he looked at you and said, oh my goodness, you know what? I love you because you did this and this and that. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God loved us before we even knew who he was. Before we loved him, he loved us. He's not loving us. He's not merciful to us because of anything we did. He's just merciful to us, period. See, mercy, you don't obtain mercy because of something that you did. It's a decision of someone that's they're being gracious to you. They're showing you compassion, and it's not based on anything you did. For the most part, people don't understand that in the body of Christ. And so, because we don't understand that, a lot of times we never receive the mercy that God has for us. And I want to show you, everybody said show you, someone in the Bible who had a clear understanding of what mercy was. And because of that, listen to me, because of that, he received a miracle of God. I'm going to show it to you in the Word. It's so powerful. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and we'll start with verse 46. If you don't have your Bible, or maybe you don't have a New King James, you can follow us word for word right here on the screen. So watch this. Here's what God says. Now, here's what Mark says. Now they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Let me stop right there and just teach you something. Because if you turn and see this same story in Luke or Matthew, it doesn't say that he went out of Jericho. It says he went into Jericho. So people who are looking to find, and people who think that there's contradictions in the Word of God, they go, see, right there, it's proof. There's all kinds of contradictions to the Word of God. And here's the deal, that most of us would look at that and say, wow, that makes sense. See, how come Mark says they went out of Jericho and Luke and Matthew say they went into Jericho? See, that's a contradiction. Well, and here's the problem. If you don't know this stuff, then that person can convince you that it's not accurate. And you'd think, oh, yeah, it's not. You're right. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can. No. Can I tell you what? God can't lie. His word is accurate every time. Can I teach you what's going on here? There was an old city called Jericho. It was Jericho. And it was over here. And then they built a new city called Jericho. And it was over here. And there was a corridor between the old Jericho and the new Jericho. And this beggar was in between the corridor, because many people walked through that corridor. So one guy says, he went out of Jericho. And two guys say he went into Jericho. So who's right? They're both right. Amen? And if you understand that, but see, if you don't understand that, many times people can throw you and it can fool you and you sit there and go, oh, I guess it. No, listen to me very carefully. God can't lie. Everything in the Word of God is true. Side note, but it's an important note because it gives me an opportunity to teach you something to show you and go, oh my goodness. So when you hear stuff like that, just take a time out and recognize, you know what? And you can dig into this stuff and you can find it because it's out there. Amen? So he went out of Jericho with his disciples, great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road. And what's he doing? He's begging. Why is he begging? Here's why he's begging. He's begging because he's blind. Okay, and so next verse. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, arise, he is calling you." So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabbi, that I might receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Wow, what an incredible story. Here's what I want to teach you today. I want to teach about the mercy of God, and I want to teach it through someone who understood the mercy of God, who understand the mercy of God. I'm going to go through some observations that blind Bartimaeus understood that I want us to understand today. Because let me tell you about the mercy of God is so powerful. First thing I want you to understand about the mercy of God is this. Mercy says this. Mercy says this. This is for me. Blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus walking by, and blind Bartimaeus says, this is for me. I'm in. I'm going to receive my healing today. See, now let me tell you. Wait. Who was this guy? This guy, if you looked at the kind of chain of who's the highest and who's the lowest, can I tell you where blind Bartimaeus is? He is way down there. Why? He can't see. He's a beggar. He's not really producing anything. The only thing he can do is just beg because he can't get a job. He can't see. The only thing he can do is beg, and hopefully somebody will give him some money that he can feed himself. That's it. How many know that's not high on the chain? But what's mercy? Mercy is you receiving something, compassion, not based on who you are or what you did. So blind Bartimaeus says, when Jesus is walking by, he's like, hey, I'm in. I'm receiving this. Can I tell you what? For some of you, the only thing that is keeping you from a miracle of God is you not saying, I'm in. Yeah, but Pastor, my marriage will always be like this. I've always had difficulty in my marriage. I just had a trouble, you know what I mean? I always, boop, 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 boop. See, that's not mercy. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm you know what? I always I'll never get out of debt. Blah, blah, blah. No, that's not mercy. Mercy is God giving you something that you don't deserve. Amen. And you're just saying, wait, I'm in. Amen. Well, who wants to go to the game with me? You know what I mean? Who wants to go to a Dodger game with me? You know what I mean? Who wants to go? Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not a Dodger fan. I don't care. You're an Angel fan. All right, but you want to go with me? Amen. You don't even have to like the Dodgers. Maybe you like hot dogs. You're in, amen? Right? Amen? Crack up. You know what? When I used to go to the Dodger game, I used to go to the Dodger game with Marilyn and Tamara. Marilyn worked for this big company. Every once in a while, she'd get these tickets. I'd be all happy because the tickets were always like really expensive tickets, really, really good seats. You know what I mean? Right, like second level, right behind home plate. Awesome. You know what I mean? So me, Tamara, and Marilyn would go. You know what? And it's like, you know what? And they would pay no attention, amen? They'd get snacks, they'd get nachos, and they'd get stuff, but you know what? They didn't care about the Dodgers. They'd just be talking, you know what I mean? I don't care. You don't have to like the Dodgers. Are you in? You know, yeah, but I don't have a hat. You don't need a hat. The question is, are you in? Because let me tell you what, blind Bartimaeus didn't get healed because of anything he did, but he recognized, hey, the God's mercy is given to me, not because of me, but because of him. So I'm in. Number one, he understood. Mercy is not depending on what you do. Mercy is dependent on you just saying, I'm going to receive it. Think about this. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. You don't have to turn there. I have it right here on the screen. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us. Who? Delivered him up to who? For all of us. Us all, or you could say all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? Some things? Yeah, but Pastor, I don't think God will give it. Stop it. Mercy doesn't say it's about you. Mercy says, I don't care that. If God says he gives it to me, I'm in. He didn't withhold his son from you. He won't withhold anything from you. From who? Yabba-dabba-dooba. It doesn't make any difference. It's not about who you are. It's about his mercy. And somebody who understands that, you know what? Comes to church and says, where's the line to the Dodger game? I'm in. Yeah, but you got an angel hat on. I don't care. I'm still going. Is that not right? Doesn't have to do with that. Look at the scripture in Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Look at this. There's no partiality with God. He doesn't care. It doesn't make any difference. His mercy is for everyone. Number two, mercy says this, I cannot be stopped. I cannot be stopped because here's why. Mercy, it's not about you. So you're not going to let anybody stop you. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? This guy's got a bunch of people telling him to be quiet. God says, what should we say to these things? What about well, you got people telling you to be quiet? What should you say? Here's what you should say. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's what you should say. Amen. It really don't make any difference. That's what you should say. You know what? Number one, you know what? Mercy says, this is for me. Number two, mercy says, no one can stop me. Number three, mercy will shout. Mercy will shout. Here's what the Bible says in the 91st Psalm, chapter 2. 91st Psalm, chapter 2. Oh, do you guys have that? You don't have that. Wow. Okay. Well, I got that. Amen. Psalm 91. And get it up there as soon as you can, guys. And verse 2. Look what it says. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress. In God, I will trust. Here, say this. I will say. See, for many people, all they say is what they see. And the Bible says we are to walk by faith, not by sight. See, and it's really problematic because we're saying, you know what, well, that's how it is. How many know you're not going to change anything until you recognize, hey, listen, you can change your life. You can change your life. You can make a difference. You can move from where you're at to a better place. Every single one of you can. But you know what you've got to do? You've got to do what this guy said. You've got to say something. You know what? And what's he saying? He's saying, hey, this is for me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Mercy. I don't deserve it, but it don't make any difference. I'm still saying something. Hey, stop thinking. You know what? That God's blessing is on you based on you deserving something or not. It doesn't make any difference. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. It's not about me. It's about him. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. In God, I'm going to put my trust in him. Amen? Amen. 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 Number one, you know what? Mercy says this is for me. Number two, mercy says you can't stop me. Number three, mercy will shout. Number four, mercy will shout what? Louder! I love this story. This is one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. Because they're telling him. He recognizes God's going by. He asks, hey, what's going on? Jesus is going by. Son of David, have mercy on me. And then all these people just, shh, you gotta be quiet. Be quiet. He's like, man, get your mama to be quiet. I ain't being quiet. Amen. Right? He's got an attitude. I'm not gonna be quiet. Amen. That shocked somebody. He was like, hey, is Pastor talking about my mama? Amen. All right, just calm down, all right? But here's what I'm saying. This guy is not going to allow someone to stop him. He recognizes that God is going to, has a possibility that he, that, you know, not because of him, but listen, but he's got to shout louder. And he's willing to shout louder. Here's all I'm saying. You know what? Please understand this. If you've got vision, There's things that God has spoken to you that it's imperative that you do. You know how many people told me, you know what, that, listen, imagine this. You know, if right now, if we were in the South Sanctuary, everybody go like this. If we were in the North Sanctuary, everybody go like this. Okay, no, not it's cold, you're squunched, amen. If we were all, it's cold. If we were in the North Sanctuary, you know what? We would all, we could all get in there barely, amen? I don't even think this many people, I don't think we could all be in there. But how many know? Because the North Sanctuary, 40% more room. South Sanctuary, 40% more room than the North Sanctuary. So, Pastor, what did you do when people said, well, that's you can't raise 100. You've never raised that much money. Up to that point in time, the most we'd ever raised was $10,000. So, Pastor, what did you do when you thought, and please understand, sometimes you got to shout yourself down. Because when I saw the vision, and then when I went to the guy who was going to build this, and he gave me an estimate about $120,000, and by the time we had lights and the sound system, it was well above $120,000, about $150,000, $160,000 to be in here. But can I tell you what? You know why you enjoyed the experience that you're enjoying today? Listen, it's because somebody was willing not to let anybody shut them down. Okay. And listen, it's not all about your comfort. You know what I mean? If we had service and we were all, you know what, had no carpet, had no air conditioning, had no lights, and I was just up here with an acoustic guitar, praise God, you'd be here and you'd be excited about it, right? But can I tell you what? There are people who are coming here, and an auditorium like this is attractive to them. And they'll come and say, wow, we like it here in this place. And can I tell you something else? You know what? You are deserving of to come to a place of excellence. Yes. Amen? I love the North Sanctuary. But we had a huge problem in the North Sanctuary. You know what I mean? I'd come out of my office. Tamara, this is not true. I'd come out of my office. Pastor George, I'd come out of my office. You know what? And they'd start praise and worship. And I'd be just finishing up something on my notes. And I'd come out of my office. And man, it would just be like rocking loud. Like, ah, you know what I mean? And I like it a little bit on the loud side. But it was just too loud. Amen? You know, even for me, I don't know where you're at. You know what? Van Halen or Led Zeppelin? I don't know. You know what? I was both, exactly. But I liked it loud. Actually, I got saved, and then I liked Striper. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Okay. You want me to sing To Hell with the Devil? Amen? Because I will. Amen? Sorry, okay. I love Striper. They're a blessing. But here's what I'm saying. I liked it loud, but can I tell you what? It was just too loud. Well, why was it too loud? Here's why. Because the drummer would play the drums, and we had a drum shield, but we didn't have a cage. That is soundproof in there. You know, just ask my wife. We figured out how to make it. We made it soundproof. It's soundproof in there. How come I hear the drums so good? Because they're all mic'd. They're all coming through here. Amen. That's cool because we can turn the drummer down and then we can mix on top of the drummer. Over there, we mixed on top of the drummer, but because we couldn't turn the drummer down, you know what? We just had to mix higher and higher and higher. Okay, we can have a theater production, and we're going to have another one soon where, you know what, these lights just help to enhance the theater production. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. I could go on, but there's all kinds of things about this sanctuary, including the main fact is we can hold 40% more people. I said all that to say, but when I first came up with this idea, I had all kinds of people telling me why you couldn't do that. So, Pastor, what did you do? I just determined even more. Here's why. Because I knew that God's mercy was for us. That it wasn't because of something we did, but it was just because God loved us, and God loves all kinds of people who are going to still come to this church. Amen. Is this making sense? So, but you can't allow circumstances. You can't allow this stuff. You can't allow the naysayers to shout you down. You've got to shout louder. You know what? You know, a thousand will fall on my one side and 10,000 on my other side. But here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, let me tell you what, it will not come nigh me. You know, having done all to stand. See, we get so on this roller coaster of, yes, I'm, you know what? Yes, I'm committed to my wife. You know what? And then, you know what? And then she burns the toast. No, I'm not committed to my wife. You know what I mean? You know what? And then I repent. Oh, I need to be committed to my wife. And then, you know what? And then, you know, so it's like, stop it. Amen. Get off the roller coaster. Shout louder. Amen. Become determined in your heart. You know what? As for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't, you know what? Yeah. But look at what all is happening. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Look all the negative. Look all stuff's happening. Yeah, let's look at what's happening. Can I tell you what? We're seeing more people come to God than we've ever seen as a church. I look out at what's going on now. I'm so pleased. You know what I mean? Because I love you guys. I don't know a lot of you. But can I tell you what? Tamara and I love every single one of you. And we've been praying for you. And we're going to do our best to get to know you. Amen? You know what? I want to eat a burrito with you today. Amen? Amen? What's that? That's not about a burrito. That's about giving us an opportunity for me to hang out a little bit and for you to be introduced to my wife. But can I tell you what? None of that would happen. You can't listen to the naysayers. And they'll tell you, no, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this. And you have to make a determination. I'm just not going to listen to them anymore. And when they start to shout, then you've got to start shout louder. Because let me tell you what, mercy says, it's for you. It's for you. You know what, about 9 months ago or something, because I just saw this great vision of what's going to happen in our place, what's going to happen in this church. And the Holy Spirit really ministered to me, and here's what he said to me. He said, Drew, why not you guys? You're teaching the word. You're totally committed to me. You're sold out to me. You know what? You know what? My wife is the hardest worker I know. I'm telling you. You know what? Pastor George and Pastor Lydia, finest pastors I know. No, really, why not us? You know what? Mark, so gracious. You know what I mean? Cares about people. Cares about the ushers. You know what I mean? Pastor Paul, sold out for Christ. Why not us? Why not us? But can I tell you what that takes? It takes for us to shout louder than the naysayers. Because I still got people telling. You know what? Listen, when I show you what God has spoken in my heart, you know what? And we've gone over it with leaders in this church. You know what? And God is saying the same thing to us. But when I roll out in about a month, I'm going to show you what we're going to do outside. And let me tell you about it. What we're going to do outside, we're going to build this outdoor foyer outside that's going to be versatile to do all kinds of things. And let me tell you what, it will be as good, you know what, as nice as anything that you see, you know what, at Knott's Berry Farm. I'm telling you what, you know, Knott's Berry Farm, it's kind of like a, you know, you ever see these like outdoor patio areas that are like, wow, this is cool. You know what I'm saying? It's nice. It's really nice. So, Pastor, how are you going to do that? The mercy of God. That's how it is. It's not going to be. Are you catching this? It's going to be through his mercy. Because let me tell you what. God says we're worth it. That's a mercy. Because I'm only worth it because he says we're worth it. And can you know what he says? Can you know what he says? And he says all these people that are in these chairs but they're not here yet, they're all worth it too. Amen. Are you learning something? And you know what? And that's what Blind Bartimaeus said. They shouted him down. He said, let me tell you what. God says I'm worth it. I'm worth it. That's mercy. I don't care what you say. I'm going to shout me down. I'm going to shout you down. Here's what it says in the Greek. The Greek, it says like this, that first he says he's shouting, Lord, have mercy on me. And then if you looked up in the Greek, then it's like this. Then he says, Lord! After they tell him to shut up. Because if you look at it, it's a different Greek word. And it means he's shouting at the top of his lungs, Lord, Son of David! Lord. See, can I tell you what? He doesn't care that they told him to be quiet. And you listen, love people. But you know what? When they come against what you know God has told you, you got to let some things go in one ear and out the other. Amen. Are you learning something today? That's what he did. Amen. Number five, you know what? Mercy says this. God will stop for me. God will stop for me. Now, we get in this religious kind of thinking. We think, I can't say that. That's not humble. Listen. God will stop for you. Look at this verse. This is in Matthew chapter 7. Guys, go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And look at verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door shall be open. You know, now watch this. Watch this next verse. Are you ready for this? This is big. It's big. Okay, watch this. Look what Jesus says. You tell me the first two words. Okay. Everybody together, tell me the first two words. Read it. For everyone. This is deep. Let me tell you what that means in the Greek. Here's what it means. It means for everyone. That's what it means. It means no one is excluded. For everyone, but look at the prerequisite. Who asks, receives. And he who seeks, what does he do? Finds. And to him who knocks, it will be. For who? Everyone who knocks. That door will be open. What's that guy's doing? Son of David! No. Be quiet. Son of David! What's he doing? He's saying, Jesus. And Jesus, and here's what the Bible says. And so Jesus walking, and here's what the New King James says. And he, so give me a word picture. And he stood still. He stood still. See, mercy says, mercy has no problem in saying, I'm worth it. Because God says, I'm worth it. I'm not worth it because the world says it's worth it. But Jesus said, anyone who knocks, and I am going to knock because I don't deserve it. But God says I deserve it, so I'm going to deserve it. I'm going to stop. You know, another story, Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today. Same principle. Zacchaeus is knocking. Zacchaeus is desiring to see Jesus. And the Bible says, you know what, that Jesus stopped. Who stopped Jesus? Zacchaeus. See, mercy says, I can stop Jesus. Yeah. No, Pastor, that's not humble. That's not humble. It might not be humble, but let me tell you what it is. It's mercy. Because mercy says, God said that. I believe God. God's merciful to me. It doesn't have anything to do with who I am. It has to do with me believing what God said, and I'm going to ask Jesus to stop for me. Amen. And Jesus stops. Amen. And he looks up in the tree, and the New King James says that he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Listen to the words, for I must go to your house today. See, God is obligating himself to anyone who asks. Mercy says, I'm going to ask. I'm going to believe God. What number am I on? Number six, mercy says this, I will ask for what I want. No, because I don't know. No, mercy says, here, Mark 11, 23 and 24. Mark 11, 23 and 24. You'll see the same terminology. Assuredly, I say, for assuredly. Do you see the repetition here? Can I tell you what? All lights appear. Well, you know what God wants us to do? God wants us, he is trying to get you to believe what he says is true. Right. Says again, assuredly, I say unto you. I say unto you, whoever, anyone, Whoever, anyone, God's the same yesterday. He's not changing his mind. If you will accept the mercy of God, God says, you know what? I'll give you what you asked for. I just can't believe it. I know, because you don't understand the mercy of God. This guy did understand the mercy of God. I'm believing after today, you're gonna step out in faith and believe that God will be merciful to you. For surely I say to you, whoever says, same thing, whoever says the mountain be removed, cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things that he says, you know what will be done? He who will have whatever he says. There's people that have got a problem with this. Listen, this is not my theology. This is Jesus' theology. You know what I mean? Yeah, some Christian guy on the radio and Jesus. I pick Jesus. Amen? I pick Jesus. I'm not part of the 10 spy club. I'm not part of the 10 spies who say, yeah, we know what Jesus said, but I want to be like Caleb and Joshua. You know what? God said it. I don't care how big they are. God said it. God will go before us and make the crooked path straight. I want to be that part. Amen? So, you know what? But believes those things, you know, he will do whatever he says. Next verse. Watch this. Therefore, I say to you. See, God's saying, hey, I'll do this to anybody. But now he's honing in to the people listening. But he's saying, guys, and that's what God's saying. I'm going to say this corporately to anybody who will listen. But you know what God's saying to us? God's saying, okay, now I'm talking to those of you who are listening to me today. He who has ears, let him hear. Do you have ears to hear what God has caused you to come here for? Do you have ears to hear what others would say is unbelievable, but God says, just believe me. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive, believe you receive them and you'll have them. Jesus, watch this. Jesus I love this. What is Jesus trying to do? Why in the world does he ask? Barabbas, what do you need? Well, I'll tell you what I'd like. I'd really like, you know what, somebody to clean my house. Because I'm blind, takes me a long time. How many know we can ask for this instead of this? Can I suggest this? Stop asking for this. You know what I hear God speaking to me? You know what? God corrects me and he says, Drew, here's your problem. You think too small. I'm telling you, God is pushing me to say, Drew, think bigger. So here's what happened. Can I tell you another story? You guys like stories? Can I tell you another story? So these guys, they're fishing. You know, the apostles are fishing. They're like, all night. And Jesus says, hey, guys, why don't you go fishing again? And they're like, yeah, right. Okay, Jesus. You know what I mean? And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out there and take your net. Everybody, nets. Okay. So here's what the Bible says. Read it. Here's what the Bible says. They didn't take their nets. You know what they did? They took their net. You think these things, listen, this really happened. Jesus didn't say take a net. He said take nets. They took a net out. You know what? They caught so many fish, the net was breaking. They start yelling, hey, 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 come on. Come out. Anyway, just incredible thing. You know what? Hey, listen, God is speaking to us and saying, guys, knock it off with the net. Let's take some nets out there. That's what Barabbas, what do you want? Let me tell you what I want. God, you want to ask me what I want? Here's what I want. I want to see. Man, that's someone who understands mercy. How many know with God all things are possible? Come on, man. We can believe this. Your marriage can be restored. Just start dreaming with me. What have you got out? What have you got completely out of debt? I mean completely out of debt. Can you dream with me? Can you dream that, you know what, you go home, you know what, and it's like, you know what, your wife just receives you. You know what I mean? It's like she kisses you like crazy. Amen. 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 Can you, ladies, can you believe that you can go to the trash And your husband will have emptied it. Amen. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Not because you told him 38 times, but because he just cares about you. Amen. You know what? Brings you some Cheetos or something. Whatever. You don't understand my point. Can we dream? And can we believe that with God, our dreams can come true? Amen. See, we got this guy understands. And what's that? It's not because he deserved anything. It's because he understood it wasn't his position. It was just the grace of God. Amen. But he's going for it. Do you understand? Are you guys receiving anything? Yeah. Amen. I'm almost done. Number seven. You missed the point. I said I'm almost done, and you're supposed to go get sad, okay? Right? Okay, wait a chance again. I'm almost done. Okay. Okay. Well, you'll get it next time, the first time, okay? Okay. Let's try it again. I'm almost done. All right. Amen. Now you guys are egging me on. Amen. Number seven, if it's not number seven in you, don't worry about it. I've just lost my place. Number seven, you know what? He says, I love what he says, God will heal me. God will heal me. You know what? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God will heal us, listen to me, of all our diseases. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, but I know someone. I know those people too. I can't explain why, you know what, people that I prayed for passed away. I can't explain it. Here's what I can say. Here's what I know. That God is my healer. Amen. Amen. Number eight. Mercy says this. If I'm whole, this is deep. If I'm whole, then I'm whole. Some of you don't get that yet, but I'll explain it to you. Here's what Zacharias is saying. If God is going to make me whole, if he can heal my broken heart, if he can restore me, then I'm going to be whole and I'm going to see again. Does that make sense? If you're whole, then you're, let me give you for instance. My friend taught me this. You know what? We count the people who are here. We count the people here in the first service. Why? Because we care about people. We count people because people count. Does that make sense? We want to see people coming to the Lord. We want to see lives changes. We want to see you telling your friends about our church. We want to grow. We want to have a bigger, influence in our community. We believe that the Word of God will heal people, restore marriages, get people off crack cocaine, you know what, do all kinds of things. So we care about you, and we care about people. So, you know what? That's important to us. But if somebody's, here's what my friend taught me. So if you have a week, and you're a little, the numbers aren't exactly, so you're going, and then you have a week that you dip a little bit, you know what? Somebody, whatever, it's raining, or for whatever reason, or Super Bowl, or whatever reason. Although, thank God, we're coming, Super Bowl Sunday, we're coming anyway, right? Yeah. Right? Amen? Like, I know there's, like pregame, you know what I mean? I don't know, it's probably pregame going on now, right? Ridiculous, amen? But here's what I'm saying, you're here anyway. You're not here because nothing was going on. You're here because you're committed here. But if something happens and not everybody shows up and you dip a little bit in numbers, my friend taught me, don't worry about that. Keep your eye on the prize. Understand, that don't mean anything. I tell people all the time, oh, they're coming, amen? I tell people all that they're coming. From the north, south, east, west, hundreds and thousands, they're coming. Amen? And here's why. Because if God's made us whole, he's going to make us whole. Amen. Right? If I'm whole, then the things that I'm believing for, I'm whole, so I'm going to get whole. God is going to complete what he started. That's what he's promised. Okay. Did you learn something today? Okay. Now, I said all that. I'm going to connect some dots here. Okay, and don't miss this last one, because it's kind of one of the biggest things that God is speaking to me. We have to become a church that will not judge people. We're just not going to make judgments of people. We need to accept people, you know what, as they come in. And, you know, we don't have like a, come on in here. I'm going to check. We have we're going to check how much weed you smoked in the last month. You know what I mean? Box. You know how many know we don't have a cylinder to put you in, you know what, the weed counting cylinder. You know what I mean? Okay. Right? Or the lust or the whatever, or the anger, or whatever issues people have. You know what I mean? How many know people have issues? It's not our position to judge them. Here's our position, to speak the word to them and allow God to change them from the inside out. Here's what I'm saying. Has God been merciful to you? He's been so merciful to me. Can I be merciful to that person who's coming in, who might have all kinds of issues? Can I not judge their motives? Can I just believe the best in all people, even though, you know what I mean? Even though I go to pull out and they flip me off on the way out? They shouldn't do that. Well, no duh, they shouldn't do that. But so what? We had one lady one time. This is a true story. This happened years and years ago. But you know what? And so she comes to church, and you know what? There was a little kid in the church, and the little kid called her a fat butt. Here's a problem, but he didn't use the word butt. He used another word. How many know? That's not good for church growth. Amen? Right? Are you with me? Are we together? Okay. So, Pastor, what did you do? Here's what I did. I talked to her. Here's what I said to her. I said, let me just say this. I am so sorry. We teach the kids. We teach them that, you know what, there's power in the tongue, that we should, you know what, build people up. You know what I mean? If you don't know, we teach our kids this. This is important. Words are very important. We want to build people up, not tear people down. I mean, no, you need to teach kids that. But here's what I told this lady. I said, but can I tell you what? I never want to be a church that I don't have kids in our church that are calling people fat butts. You said that? I didn't say that, but I said that. Especially why? And here's what I told her. Because I always want to reach kids that haven't grown up in church. So, if somebody, you know what, flips you off on the way out, then just pretend they didn't. That's what God did to you when you were doing that to him. I never did that to him. I'm smiling, right? Okay. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. And you did it over and over and over to him. And God just acted like, I don't care. I'm not loving them because of what they did. You told God over and over again, this is more important, that's more important, this is more important, that's more important, this is more important. And the whole time, God just says, I'm not loving you because you're loving me. I'm loving you because I decided to love you. Okay. All I'm saying, can we do that for those people who are coming in? Can we be merciful because God has been merciful to us? I don't know about you. While I say this, I decree and declare that you will receive the word of God today and that you will receive his mercy. Not dependent upon you, but just dependent on because of what he's done. And you're going to believe God for that. Amen? My lovely, sweet, intelligent wife.
It's interesting, Caleb and Joshua. The 12 that went, every one of them was a leader. They didn't choose a couple of leaders and then a couple of just little followers that didn't know what was up. They took 12 leaders to go in and spy the land. Then why did Joshua and Caleb why was it just two of them that were ready to receive what God had and stayed with the plan of God? The Bible tells us why. It's because Caleb, it says, had a different attitude. Tells us our attitudes have to be attitudes that are anchored in the teachings of Jesus Christ. The local church, this South Sanctuary, everything that we do at Hope is about one thing. And that is that we would come together and learn the teachings of Jesus Christ. And then those teachings, as we're following them and implementing them in our lives, that's what makes us his disciples. We are here to raise up an army of disciples who know God's word and who live God's word. When we know it and we live it, it causes us, when we believe what God says, it causes us to be those people of a different attitude. And so take the move from the North Sanctuary to the South Sanctuary. There's a lot of things that I miss about the North Sanctuary. But we can reach so many more people here in the South Sanctuary. More of us can come together. Everyone in this room has a part to growing God's kingdom here in this city and what God's called us to do. The Bible says that growth comes when each one does their share. You have a share. It's in you. You're not just here by happenstance. We don't just pick and choose where we want to go to church. The Spirit of God places us. Again, let's get the attitude of God on this. Let's set our attitudes right. The Bible says that God is the one who plants you in a house. And that you are to be grounded and rooted so that you can flourish. Flourish in what? Flourish in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as you do that, there's people around you that see the change in your life. How many of you have witnessed that, either in someone else's life or people have witnessed that in your life, and they're like, wow, what's up with you? Wow. I remember after becoming a believer, I went home to visit my family in Chicago, and we were not born and raised in the church, and so this was all new. As a matter of fact, when I became born again, my mom said to me on the telephone, I told her, hey, I'm going to church now, and wow, I'm learning about Jesus. This is amazing. And she said, oh, that's fine, sweetie. I'm so glad, you know what, that you found something that makes you happy. But just as long as you're not one of those born-again Christians. And I said, Ma, that's what I am. It's exactly what I am. Why did she say that? Because she has no idea herself. But we sure have a lot of attitudes and preconceived ideas about what is, don't we? Who God is and what God's all about and all of this stuff. And she had a bunch of preconceived ideas. Interestingly enough, probably 4 months, 6 months later, I don't know what it was, I led my mom to the Lord on the telephone, and she became one of those born-again believers. How did that happen? How did that happen? It happened because I learned the teachings of Jesus Christ and began to live them and follow them. My father said to me on one trip home, he said, and this was weird, guys, because, like, it's so funny. I found some stuff the other day cleaning. I told my husband, I was like, dang, I was like the perfect child, man. I was reading this stuff that my dad had saved from high school, junior high, all this stuff. I was a trippy kid.
You know that? I'm like, I don't know what's wrong. I mean, I'm writing this little journal thing for some homework thing about, you know what, how I don't like these, you know, students that are with me because they lie to their parents, and why they have to lie to their parents, and how come they don't, you know what, I love my parents, and I want to, listen, I didn't come from, I wasn't like on drugs and partying. I mean, I was just, a lot of people say, yeah, you know why people go to church? Because they need a crutch. You know what I mean? No, they no, not me. I didn't need no crutch. You know what? I was happy living a happy life, or so I thought. Until one day, the strongest feeling I've ever felt, it was so strong that I literally looked to the left and the right in my car like, what the heck? You know what I mean? Because it was like, I want to go to church. I'd never been to church a day in my life. But I was driven. I'm going to church. And I knew nothing. I could be standing right now bald in front of you with a white robe on. I could have become a Hare Krishna. I could have been anything. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. But I wasn't doing anything but responding to the Spirit of God that was drawing me. Well, why do you say all that? Because that's what we pray. We know that the Spirit of God is real. We pray that God would draw people from the north, south, east, and west to this place who belong here. God plants you in a house. God does the planting. That's right out of your Bible. We follow the Spirit of God. We hear what He says, we do it. We're down here because we heard what the Spirit of God said, and we did it. And that's the way we're going to keep on living. That's how we roll here. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. And we come together that we all can be more like Him, learn what He says, implement it in our life, and then we affect others and we teach others exactly how to do what we're doing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Felt like I was going somewhere that I... Thank you, Tony. Thank you. Let me see what I had. Oh, I know why I used to say that. The Word of God is, listen to everything your Bible says. It's a light unto your path. It's a lamp unto your feet. It shows us the right attitude to have on things. And so, you know what? When we came here, God is awesome. And I just remember how it all rolled out just a piece at a time. And I'll remember when Pastor Drew said, and we knew we were growing and we knew we needed some more room, and I'll never forget when he said, what about if we took down there and down here and we did this? Now, I'm like, that's crazy. We can't do that. Do you know how much work that would be? We do now, right? That'd be a lot of work. And then but why did he do that? Because the Spirit of God spoke to him. And then when we found out what it was going to cost, indeed. I said, how are we supposed to do that? The most we've ever raised was just slightly over $10,000 for an air conditioning unit. Now, people will say a lot of things about Pico Rivera. Do you understand? But those same things can't be said about God. So, who are we? Well, we're His sons and daughters. We're His disciples. And so, we had a different attitude when we saw the dollar amount. Our attitude is, God, listen, there's nothing we done up in here in the first place on our own, and why would this be any different? With God, all things are possible. And so, God, if this is what you want us to do, then let's just get doing it. And one step at a time. And the testimonies of how God did this, wow. But that's for every one of us in every single situation. But we have to get the right attitude
be in the right atmosphere. I heard a teacher was talking about that the Spirit of God told him, use the word to calibrate something. And he said, I went and I looked up calibrate and what it meant. And this is very, very important to you, what I'm about to say next. So hang on to me, because every one of us is dealing with something. So he goes and looks up the word calibrate, and one of the main places he said it was used is, I think the company was Honeywell. Honeywell makes these machines. It's law that any company in the United States that is working with any kind of toxins, they have to have these machines that calibrate the air and the atmosphere because of the toxins, because it can be so deadly. So they put these machines in there. Now he says, I went to the website of Honeywell, and Honeywell, which makes these machines, he said in big bold letters right at the top, this is what it said. We strongly recommend that these be calibrated daily. And what that means is that they've got to take that machine off the wall, and the way that they calibrate it, they get it into a clean atmosphere, into a clean room. And then they set the settings, and they make sure, and then they put it back out. The Word of God calibrates us. It gives us the right attitude. We will be Joshua and Calebs that think right and have the right mindset on things if we will calibrate with the Word of God. There's so much out there that tells you how to think, what will be and what won't be, what you can and what you can't, who you are and who you aren't. Do you know what I'm talking about? But 90% of the time, all of that is contrary to this. And so if you're not daily calibrating, then you won't have the right attitude on all kinds of situations in your life. Joshua and Caleb had the right attitude. They believed what God had said. And they were telling everyone, no, God said. And they silenced. Look it up in Numbers. They told the people, be quiet. God said. See, we got all kinds of stuff going on in our life, but we got to be like Joshua and Caleb, where we get in a room, that clean room, where it's quiet, and we hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. We recalibrate our mind and our thoughts and our feelings and our ways of thinking of who we are and who He is and what we can and what we can't do. If we don't do this, then we don't end up being the successful disciples that we see when that happens. We've done a lot of things here, from the very beginning to where we are now. And we've done every bit of it with the Lord, with Him leading us, with Him directing us. Not looking at our circumstances, but looking at what He said. And that's how we get there. If we're not recalibrating, we're going to be putting together, we all know, we read our Bible every day here at Hope. We'll encourage you that until Jesus comes and takes us with Him. You know what? This is where it's all at. This is life to those who find it. And if we are not in the Word daily, in that clean atmosphere, recalibrating, then we begin to think wrongly, and we begin to move wrongly, and we begin to feel isolated and alone and all kinds of things, but we don't need to be that. We can be victorious as long as we stay in that, in His way of thinking, His attitude, and let Him direct us.
So as we are doing that, we're going to start to have, it's going to be, we're here that we can encourage one another. God instituted that we would be together, that iron would sharpen iron. And so we're going to be putting together an accountability group, if you will, with our Bible reading. So not only do we say we read our Bible every day, but then you're going to have an opportunity to hold yourself accountable to that within a group. That group, if we don't see you in there putting in your notes of what you got out of your daily Bible reading, someone from that group will contact you and say, hey, what's up? Now that's your choice to put yourself into that kind of accountability or don't. But being in His Word is the greatest thing that we will do in our lives. And I know what happens. Life takes over and it's the least of our concern. And when it becomes the least of our concern, we end up with all kinds of wrong thinking. And back to Joshua and Caleb, what ended up happening? Well, you guys, most of you know exactly what happened. Because they did not have the attitude of God and think like God, besides Joshua and Caleb, that really ended up hurting them. And they paid a terrible price, did they not? Do you think we're different? Or do you think that's been put there, that God is giving us an example? Hey, guys, be like these two. He doesn't want us to pay that price. He's paid a price that we wouldn't have to. Amen? And he is everything that we need, whatever the need is. Amen? Amen.